Thank you for tuning in to the Read Together UMCNA podcast. Hopefully, these meditations offered by your fellow readers are giving you new insights into the scripture for each week. Don't forget to check out the Read Together UMCNA Facebook page for more thought-provoking observations. We encourage our readers to post their thoughts and comment on the ideas posted by others. Of the many lessons we can learn from the book of Job, Reverend Andy Curtis focuses on this. We are not called to defend God. Rather, we are called to grow in our love for God and others.
A reading from Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. One day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." "All right, you may test him," the Lord said to Satan. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. May the Spirit of Christ dwell where the Word of God is spoken. Thanks be to God.
John Ortberg, in his book, Who is This Man?, offers us this story. A man was walking along San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge when he saw a woman standing by herself, obviously feeling lonely. He ran up to tell her that God loved her. A tear came to her eye. Then he asked her, "Are you Christian, Jew, Hindu, or what?" "I'm a Christian," she said. He said, "Me too. Small world. Protestant or Catholic?" "Protestant." "Me too. What denomination?" "Baptist." "Me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" "Northern Baptist." He said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" "Northern Conservative Baptist." "That's amazing. Me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist or Northern Conservative Reformed Baptist?" "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist." "Remarkable. Me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Eastern Region?" She replied, "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region." "A miracle," he said. "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Council of 1912? She said, "Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. He shouted, "Die, heretic," and he pushed her off the bridge. Obviously, John Ortberg wrote that as a comical overdramatization of bad evangelism, but there's truth to the story. It seems to me that even though the conversation between the man and woman started with the proclamation that God loves those who are hurting, the conversation quickly turned from words of comfort to an exchange where one believer was determined to defend God's honor against the heretical view of another believer. It became accusatory instead of simply sharing God's love. Perhaps we should consider the notion that God doesn't call us to defend God's honor. God calls us to grow in our love for God and others so that through God's love at work within us, we transform the world. Our text from Job 1 finds us in a meeting of the divine council. Notice Yahweh is surrounded by other heavenly beings. However, Yahweh isn't defending Yahweh's place of authority. It is simply understood. In fact, these other divine beings have come to present themselves before the God of Israel in order to offer reports of what they've been up to. Even among divine beings, God doesn't need to offer a defense, for God is truly God. Among the divine beings is one many biblical translations refer to as Satan. Now allow me to offer a word on this particular character. If we gave this passage a cursory reading, we would probably assume that the Satan referred to in this passage is the Satan that later traditions have developed as the personification of pure evil, with Satan being his proper name. Let me suggest to you that is not who we have in this text from Job. Here, Satan is not a proper noun, it's not a name at all, but a title. In Hebrew, it is ha-Satan, or a common noun that simply means accuser. It is not a proper noun, but a descriptive title. So this divine being is not one who personifies pure evil. From this being's title and activity of wandering throughout the earth, we can ascertain that this character, this accuser, is one who wanders throughout the earth looking for those who can be accused of acting in sinful and disloyal ways, and who can then be indicted before Yahweh. Essentially, the accuser of Job 1 is a divine being who sees their purpose for existing as defending the honor of God. However, as we've already seen, Yahweh stands above all other divine beings and is in need of no defense. Also, verse 22 of this same chapter tells us that despite all of the horrors that befell Job, he did not sin or blame God. You know, perhaps the accuser should have considered the notion that God doesn't call us to defend God's honor. God calls us to grow in our love for God and others, so that through God's love at work within us, we transform the world. I mean, think about it. How much time and energy went into the accuser trying to force an accusable behavior out of Job? How many family members, how many workers, how much livestock had to die just in chapter 1 in order to lay the foundational truth that God doesn't need others to defend God's honor? No matter what the accuser throws at Job, Job proves over and over again that God doesn't require a defense. What God requires of God's people is faithfulness and humility. Take a moment to listen, or heaven forbid, read on social media all the conversations going on around you. It shouldn't take long to see that the world is not at a shortage of accusations. But I think we could all agree that the world could use a little more love, a little more faithfulness to God and each other, and a little more humility. How many relationships must be strained or broken? How many bridges must be burned? How much time must be wasted? How much money and energy must be spent? And how much damage must be done in the accusing of others in an attempt to defend God's honor? God doesn't need others to defend God's honor. You see, when God's people were enslaved in Egypt, it was Yahweh who acted and changed things. When the Ark of the Covenant fell into the hands of the Philistines, it was Yahweh who acted and changed things. We confess this notion in our communion liturgy when we state, when our love failed and we turned away, God's love remained steadfast. Since the beginning, it has been God who has acted to create, to dwell among, to regenerate, to redeem, and recreate all that has been broken. God doesn't need us to defend God. God needs us to be transformed by God's love and God's grace so that we can thus transform the world. Unfortunately, the man who tried to evangelize the lady on the Golden Gate Bridge didn't quite get this notion. The accuser of Job chapter 1 didn't quite get this notion either. And sometimes we don't get it either, because truth be told, it is probably easier to offer an accusation of someone else than it is to admit that we ourselves still need some transforming. So as we ponder the Holy Scriptures this week, may we do so through a lens of love, humility, mercy, and transformation, not one of accusation. Because God doesn't call us to defend God's honor. God calls us to grow in our love for God and others, so that through God's love at work within us, we might transform the world. In the name of the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God, help us to grow in our love for you and for others. Use us, we pray, to transform the world. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.